Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berquist, your host today of Women Leading the Way, and I have got a gem, an amazing woman, an amazing leader, somebody that I admire and who will inspire us on some of her stories and how she found the secrets that were learned to sell a small business. Some of it planned, some of it not, but I'm delighted to introduce our leading lady today, and that is Dr. Ann Clark. She is the original founder and CEO of ACI Specialty Benefits, which now has been sold. But Ann, say hello and say hello to all of our listeners and welcome.
Thank you, Michelle, and I am thrilled to be here and speaking to your listeners, guys and gals, just to throw that in. I'm so pleased. Michelle and I have been friends for a while, and it's so wonderful that she's highlighting selling a small business, because men and women work very hard to build a business, and then what? And this show, I hope, will meet your needs for the then what.
That then what is a big one. And I, you know, every time I talk to you, Ann, I'm going to say publicly and right here, right, on the blogosphere and the world of blog radio and blog talk radio and even with podcasts, that you inspire me every time I talk to you. And, you know, a couple months ago, I just remember you reaching out and you're saying, I sold my business. And I was like, what? How did this all come about? Because I, just some statistics, I think, first, I want our listeners to know, you have been in business a long time. I do believe, and I'm guessing, but I'm pretty sure this is right, you're not just national. You were international as an organization.
We were
and very well known.
Yes.
International. I thought you were. And just done some incredible things with benefit programs and offering services. So can you just share just a little bit about ACI and also the length of time you were in business, because you are all that. And that's where I want to start with after you share that about then how did this come about that you were able to sell your business. So start with what ACI Specialty Benefits was all about.
Let's do start with that, but let me get your reader, listener interest kicked up. I sold my business a month ago without any planning for several millions of dollars. And I started with nothing.
Wow.
This wasn't even my idea. So that's where I've come from. I never thought I was a business person. I had been fired from a job. And if you haven't been fired, I highly recommend it. It is a wonderful experience for growth and looking at who you are. But mostly we don't know what we don't know. And children are asked from day one, what do you want to be? Well, they look around and they see teachers and mothers and fathers and firefighters and singers on TV, and they want to be Tiger Woods. Oops, we don't want to be him. Let's see. They see movie stars.
Yeah.
They see those less than one percenters who make it in their various industries. How I started this business was I started, and that's my really first piece of advice to anybody who wants to start a business. Go out and have business cards made. Maybe you only have your phone number and your home address on them, but have business cards made. It'll take about $5 to do that. And when people ask you what you do, you say, I'm in the floral business, and you hand them your card. You take it from there. That's a way to get you focused and to get them focused. then go get a business license. Look at any sales book, and it does not tell you how to get a business license. So you Google how to get a business license in San Diego, and you'll have a map and everything you need. Now you are in business. You are doing business. So whatever your product is, and service is a hard one to start. But currently I'm mentoring an acupuncturist and a massage therapist. And it is really hard to do the service. But what you do is do it. No business plans. Don't waste your time on a business plan. Call somebody, ask them who if they'd like to have a massage, and arrange it. Call your friends and ask them all. One of my friends said to me, oh, you need, when I first started private practice, said, oh, you need clients? You don't look like you need clients. Well, of course I didn't. I had all this stuff in my business clothes, and of course I didn't look like a starving child. I looked good. So I have to ask for the business. Called all my friends, got two referrals almost immediately, and I was off and running. Ask for what you want. Don't listen to people who aren't high achievers. This is a huge mistake. You talk to your father, your mother, your Aunt Bessie, and they don't know anything about business. Now, I'm generalizing here, not to insult anybody whose mother is a great business person. But you have to not listen to all the things. Does anybody look back on COVID and think of all the gossip we heard? I stood in line for 15 hours in the rain and snow and still couldn't get a shot. And you hear these things. Last night when the thunder and lightning started, if you were in San Diego, I got a lot of emails about put on rubber shoes, which I had never heard of in my life, and don't get in the bathtub. So I haven't looked up to see if those things are true, but people think they know something because they bought something. Whatever business you're in, you're going to be selling. You are going to be selling
yourself.
Well,
Anne, I got to jump in on this one. I got to jump
you
in.
You do.
I know
you
we
do.
Only have a half-hour show. We're talking about selling a business. I need you to jump in and go, how did this big multi-million dollar accident happen? Like, share that with us.
Okay.
Because I know, let me frame it up. I got to say this, because there are so many small business owners, myself included, that we all think that we're going to build a business and we intend to sell it. And I can tell you just hundreds and hundreds of businesses I've known over the years, there's never the kind of rule book on how to do it. And yet I continue to meet owners like yourself over the years, and I've been a small business owner for 30 years, that I look at that and I go, oh my gosh, you know, people give you the rule book on it, but just out of nowhere, how did this come about? And what do you, and I think the bigger thing is for our listeners is like, what do you feel are the keys that you did that made your business attractive to sell? Like, that's the key thing. But I know you said by dumb luck, and I don't think anything you do is ever dumb luck. But what do you, what was the circumstances that led to the big offer and sell?
Well, I do think it's more than luck, although I would never turn luck down. And I have a tremendous faith in our company. I always have had. I have never once doubted that this company would succeed and be a big deal. So that's very important. That's also important in saying no. In the beginning of my business, lots of people wanted to buy it. It was too small. Mm. They couldn't give me enough money to live the rest of my life. So I just kept working, giving outstanding service and walking like I talked. Now, those phrases, those cliches are very true. You have to work really hard, do the things yourself. I would make up names for the financial person who sent out the bills. And it was me alone, and I did everything. And I never once stopped to think, what if this doesn't work? To get your business ready for sale, you have to be attractive. One of the ways I was attractive to other people was I looked, the company looked larger than it was. Marketing was the key. And when people ask me, how much do you make in a year? How much is your company worth? I never answered those questions. One of them led to a trip to St. Louis and a company which was then Magellan. I turned them down before they were planning to turn me down, but I knew this wasn't the way to go. I shouldn't have mentioned their name, should I? Anyway, I was doing the next indicated thing. I was taking the next step. I had my head down and I was doing work, and my someone came to one of my executives and said, would she be open to this? I said, no. And he went on talking and talking, because that first date, he's got to work for it. If he wants to get to know me, if he wants to see me in a pretty dress that's low cut, he's got to work for that. That doesn't just happen. young girls make very many mistakes these days, and that's one of them. I'm sorry. You're going to have to do more than just call me on the phone and say you want to go out with me. Lots of people do. So show me something. So he did. And finally, I took a phone call from him. It, again, is very much like a date. He said, I'll give you this and take you here and there. And I said, not enough. And he said, let's do more. And the deal was done. We didn't fool around with pieces of paper. Of course, eventually the accountants have to come in. He started out, and I said, there's one number we need to talk about, so let's get with it. And it was just that simple in terms of what I had worked 40 years to sell. So is it simple? Yes. You have to be committed. You have to oftentimes put family next second, and you have to be committed to your business. But people will see you, and they will want to be with you. Same principle of dating.
I love that.
I would say,
well, I love that you go into the dating part. I'm like, that's another whole topic, because I'm like, I want to dig in on something. You know, there's those experts out there, right, the ones that tell you what you have to do. And I always think, you know, they always talk about how you have to have your systems in place and your procedures, and, you know, that you've scaled your business and have things documented. I mean, do you feel that that was an element that was attractive to this company? Was it even, from what you are thinking of now on the other side of selling it, was that an important thing that you did? Or, you know, I mean, they always talk about that you have to have your systems and your processes in place, and, you know, you have to be able to have other people that can just take on the business. Were all those things true for you, do you think? Or is it all bupkis?
I think all those things are true. And I would say that we are we've had wonderful people in all our departments, and I've always spent any amount of money I had on IT. Now, is sales less important? No. Is marketing less important? No. All of these things have to be put together, but IT is something that is going to have to be right. And I was very blessed and smart in who I selected for my IT person. Beyond that, there's never any wrong time to sell your company. If your object is to sell your company, then get out there and market it. Go to parties, go to professional meetings, and let people know your company is for sale. If you had an empty house sitting there to rent, what would you be doing? You wouldn't be waiting for somebody to drive by and see your sign. So there's no wrong time to sell a company. But your goals, your processes, and think what you will do. I sold my company when COVID was well on its way to driving me and everyone else crazy. So there's no wrong time. There's no bad time. But think what you're going to do when you sell your company. What I got to do was put on a mask and be locked up. But hopefully when your listeners are ready to sell their companies, it'll be better. But there is no wrong way to start. I started with nothing. I rented an office that smelled like some kind of weird rattan, and that's all I could afford. And you move on. Faith, you yeah. must have faith. You have to have faith in yourself.
So here's a question, Ann. You know, when you think the other part too, because you were talking about the idea there's no, you know, wrong time or right or wrong time to sell your business. But, you know, one thing that I maybe share a little bit about is how did you let people know you were looking to sell your business? But yet I've also heard over the years that you want to be really careful because you don't want, like you wouldn't want your clients to know that, or maybe it didn't matter. I'm curious because usually people kind of do the, I'm selling the company on the down low and you don't want that to be out there in, you know, the business community or, you know, have your clients know about it. Was it more of a secretive thing and only certain people know, or do you feel it matters?
My business was not for sale, and they came to me, and I had absolutely no idea that it was time to sell the business. So I did nothing to accept my job. I was doing my job, and my people were doing their jobs, and we looked very attractive. We have been in the top 10 of EAP businesses for more than two decades. We're usually pretty low down of the top 10, but we're there, and that's through business, organization, all the things that make a business good. So I do think right. you have to be careful. You don't want people, especially service, you don't want your massage therapist to say, oh, by the way, I'm selling, and next week you'll be having Jan as your massage person. You have to look at the type of business, where you would get attention. Do you want someone, there are people who will sell your business for you. There are lots of different factors. But by the time you have anything worth selling, you should know what those things are.
Right, right. Hey, we're going to take a quick sponsor break here, and I'm going to just read something that's very important to one of our sponsors, and I'll be back. And what I, when we come back, what I want to ask you about, it's a big question, and I'm just curious. It's like, any regret? So hold your answer on that one. And I just am curious if there was any seller's remorse on your part. But real quick, I want to thank one of our sponsors. Women Lead Radio is brought to you today by Connected Women of Influence and our partner, National University. National University is proud to be San Diego's largest private nonprofit university, founded in 1971. The National University mission is to provide accessible, achievable higher education to adult learners. Today, National University educates students from across the U.S. and around the globe with over 170,000 alumni worldwide. Thank you so much for your support, National University, and to all of our sponsors and partners. So, Ann, I'm coming back to you, and I go, the big question is, at the point of when you sold the business, I know you probably skipped around, right, with the inflow of money, but was there any, like, just momentary regrets or second guessing of what you did? Because I know you've had such a great reputation in the San Diego, California business community, at least where I know you, and I know internationally.
Thank you.
But were there any regrets at all?
Well, regret is an awfully big word. I made a lot of mistakes along the way, things I would do differently, things I didn't know, some I did know, and it was a mistake. So mistakes, I think the song says, I've made a few. Regrets, no. It was time. There's a lifespan on your employees. There's a lifespan on your own energy. There's a lifespan on everything in nature. I got a lesson from my gardener, and I said, why is this plant dying? He said, well, all plants die. And I said, what do you mean? They don't all die. He said, yes, they do. They have a lifespan like anything else. And I think that's true of business. There comes a point where your business needs something that maybe you and your staff can't provide. We were at the opposite end of that. We were doing great. And maybe that's the best time to sell your business, when you look your very, very best. But I don't think it's a regret. I don't regret selling the business. I can't. You just can't turn down something that's going to make the business better. I had a terrible sense of loss and grief from the employees not being mine. And I'm still giving them orders a month
later.
That
would be hard. Well, and I do know of the culture. I do know the culture that you had within your company. It was amazing. I mean, you know, again, your past president, it's like I knew and, you know, knew for years. It's just like
Aaron,
what a great
uh-huh.
reputation. Yeah, for sure. I mean, we'll make sure Aaron knows that we're talking about her. I'm just teasing. you know, a couple minutes that we've got left, but, you know, I want to ask you. So here you go. You and I were on the phone a week ago, and I think this is okay to share that, you know, you were saying this is when people sell their business, they're like, okay, what's next? Like, what is, can you share with our listeners, what's the chapter next for you? And maybe it's not all figured out, right? Because it wasn't like this was the plan. It happened. But where can you kind of share what has been maybe the easy part or maybe a little bit of the, you know, not so great part about selling a business? It's like, what's next for you?
Well, I had an idea, and that's the way I started this business. It's not an original idea. And I started looking for space to put a business. I incorporated as an S corporation. The name of the company is Convergence. And by the way, I remind my people all the time that the name of the company is not we. The name of the company is not me. The name of the company is Convergence. And Convergence is the overlapping of several of the natural healing arts. To say it is spiritual healing is one part of it. Acupuncture is another. Various types of massage would be included. And I am willing and luckily able to support these young people who maybe are just getting their licenses or moved here from someplace in the healing arts that are not necessarily reimbursed by insurance, but are affordable because they are a little faster. They involve herbs and natural things, no prescriptions. So I got interested in that, and now I have three potential givers. Caregivers, and we're looking for space. Space is a hard thing in San Diego, especially a small space.
Right.
But we've started, and we've got some income flowing around, and that's what I wanted to do. And I've learned enough. That was another thing I think that made my business grow. I was always interested in what's new, what's trending, what's going on, what do they have that we don't have? And it's not necessarily money. The money will come. Don't let yourself get hung up on money. You have faith in yourself and faith in your ideas, and the money will come. That I believe so strongly. And it's been my story. It's a Cinderella story, and it's come true.
It's a Cinderella that works hard story. I mean, I think that's what is amazing and what you're sharing is it doesn't just happen overnight. I mean, you build every step and brick and, you know, movement forward. I always am fascinated when people go, gosh, you know, what did you do that was this or that? And, you know, I hear women owners like you, Anne, that will just say, I worked my butt off, you know, but I worked hard. I provided a great service and or product. And, you know, you keep building and innovating and elevating. And I think that's the message to go is it doesn't happen overnight. And look, you know, you stuck with, you know, what you felt were those standards of being a great company. And that was the end result was selling it. And look at you now. In fact, there's a term. I heard a term the other day and I want to share with you. You are doing what they call now ladder. You are doing what's called a ladder down. And I was like, what? What is a ladder down? And somebody told me, instead of always rising up the ladder, now you've been there, and it's like you're doing a ladder down to support others. And I thought, what a great word. I mean, I thought it was very different, you know, kind of like help the next one in line. You know, I mean, you're helping the next rising stars, and it sounds amazing. I've only got a couple minutes left, but I'm curious what – you know, just again, I think I could just turn you on the on button and we could go on for hours about the advice you could give other business owners. But let's tuck in a little bit, because I know this is going to be, I got to keep you limited, but I want to have you back on the show. Of the things that you see women owners do that I would love for you to share, maybe two or three things that are really important of what you see women-owned businesses do or do not specifically that they should be doing, because so few women get to that million-dollar mark in sales in their business. And I think there's a number of reasons for it, but I'm curious what, you know, along the years you've seen that maybe you could share with our listeners who are women-owned businesses are the most important things to keep in mind, along all the other things that you shared, but one or two, maybe three important things?
Let's go. Yeah. If you will look at a lot of the famous and well-to-do women, they've got husbands behind them. So while you may not want to run out and get a husband, I've had two and it wasn't much use to me, but I do look at...
A man is not a plan. Let's use the a man is not a plan, but yeah, sorry, I interrupted.
No, that's a good interruption. Dolly Parton has had a husband who supported her and loved her and was not jealous all of her incredible life. The women that you can name for me who are very successful, movie stars, let's leave them out because that's a whole different arena. But it is good to have a support. It's very good to have someone who says you didn't do anything wrong, you just would do it differently the next time. I think the other thing women do is they think they have to have a lot of money to start a business, and that's fine if you do, but if you don't stop, just do. Mm-hmm. Don't stop, do. Get those business cards, get that business license, and get out there. That's the way to
right,
go.
Right.
What else? I'd like to just say to your listeners, please get in touch with me if you want to chat or talk a little more about any of these topics. You can get in touch with the Michelle, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, no, it's a question I was going to ask you before we wrap up. So we don't have a link to your site, so do you want to share an email address or a phone number, or how would you like people to reach out and contact you if they choose to?
I will do exactly what I've done in business, and I will give you my phone number. I'm not afraid that gangsters and rapists are going to call me. It is 619-251-9736. 619-251-9736. We don't have to have a meeting about it. We don't have to send a memo about it. We've done it. And
I love it.
If you missed it, then call the station.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And we don't have a link to your site, but I think we were thinking to put a link to your LinkedIn profile, if that's all right. Or do you have another place you
want
to send a link on
you
the show page?
Talk,
does that work?
Yeah. You and yes, I'm on LinkedIn, and we can do that. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I love your words of advice, because I know if I could turn you on, it'd be hours of advice, and I'm going to someday capture that from you. But, you know, is there anything else that you feel a small business owner needs to do? And again, our focus on our show is on women, you know, women leaders and women who are thriving in business and looking to, you know, do what they want to do to advance, whether that's build their business or enhance their careers. But in selling a small business, it's like, leave us with, I don't know, either the idea of being inspirational, which I know you are, or share two other slices of advice that you think women-owned businesses need to know. Because I know it's two of a lot of many.
I would steal Nike's ad and say, just do it. Don't let people talk you out of things. Don't even get their opinions unless you're sure it's going to be good. Talk about inspiration. I would talk to Michelle all day long, because what she said that I inspire her, she inspires me. Gather around yourself cheerleaders. You do not want anybody else in your corner. You want some, and look at business people. Cheryl, I'm sorry, slipped my mind, but look at women around you, and if they aren't supportive of what you're doing, find another one. Replace your friends. No negativity. You can't, when people say you can't do something, you just go ahead and do it. Do you know how many people said this wasn't work? I even had, luckily he's resigned now and out of business, but he actually called me and said, like an old-fashioned rodeo show, Western show, he said, there's not room in this town for another EAP. He said this at a professional meeting in front of all my peers.
Oh, my gosh.
And, gosh, I wonder if he's listening now. So
I hope he is.
I hope he is, too. But women, men are your friends. Men are sometimes better friends in business than women are. Women are competitive with each other. I would remind you, mm-hmm. in caveman days, the woman sat in the cave and guarded the children and the grain. And when the woman in the leopard skin came down the path, they stoned her. The men got together and dug the hole for the dinosaur to fall in. Men had genetically get together. Women do not. They have to learn it. And they have to learn it with other women. It's easy to get together with a man. It's not easy to get together with another woman who's in coming to take over your cave. So,
do you know that would be another whole show, Anne? Like, seriously, because women do not. You know, and I think, no, it's a powerful message. It's something really great to end on, because our show is almost over here. And I want to say thank you. But to all of our lady listeners out there, it's like, this is a leading lady that you'll want to know. And I just appreciate all the, just the conversation and the pieces I take away, and that I've gotten to kind of know you a bit over the years. And again, your reputation definitely is in front of you, right? Because you're on to chapter next, and that's exciting. But any final, like, little inspiration you want to share? And then I'm going to wrap up. Do you want to tell anybody? Hey,
everything you saw, heard that happened today between Michelle and I is something to emulate. She made friends with me. It wasn't the other way around. She came to me. I welcomed her. We talk on the phone very seldom, but when we do, it's always inspiring for me to hear what she's doing, and for, I hope, this, as she said, the same for her. Make friends with women who can help you, and don't stop. Don't tell me about the two kids that weren't picked up for daycare. Don't tell me you're going to get a puppy. Don't tell me excuses. Tell me what you can do, and know every day in your mind what service you are giving. In 1 3-month period, I talked to 27 people from one school who were calling in about suicide. College can be very stressful. That's the kind of service that makes my heart go pitter-pat. And whatever you do, whether you're telling them where the closest CVS is or what the movie schedule is, know that you count, your children count, your family counts, but your business always has to come first. So that's an unpopular
statement. That's pretty wise advice. I think we got bookends there. The bookends are just do it. And the other bookend is don't stop. So I think that's a great way to say thank you. Thank you for being our leading lady today.
Oh, you're
today.
Welcome,
and
Michelle.
I want to say thank you to all of our listeners. As you know, we love your loyalty, and we are an international show. And we are here every single Monday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time and Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific time. And we have 17 different hosts, but if you want to listen to Women Lead Radio, we will be available after this show, our live show on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. You can find us anywhere you can subscribe to podcasts. So to that, Anne, again, thank you for being so amazing. I want to have you back on the show, and I hope all of you will take Anne's great advice, right? It's like the goal is provide a great service, have a great product, but get in there, do the work, just do it, and also make sure to never get up. Never give up. All right, we'll see you on the next Women Lead Radio Show.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.